Just a heads up that this episode does deal with the discussion of mental health and suicide. This is an Ace Radio podcast. Welcome to the Women of Influence special series, 100 Women in 100 Days, celebrating strong, resilient women from all walks of life. Here's Kate with today's episode.
Hey, Steph, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I seriously, when I was reading your nomination that came through, didn't know where to start, but I felt like straight up we should address the word imposter syndrome, because many women have it, me included, but I was interested because you listed it in there and I thought, now, how is this possible? How is this possible that this incredible woman with this amazing list of accolades and achievements still has a little bit of imposter syndrome that pops up every now and again?
Probably sometimes more than a little bit as well, I think. It's funny. Some that almost like over the last few weeks I've kind of reflected, like, it's almost the more I do, the more impostery, I don't know if that's a word, but the stronger it comes up and the more my mind likes to tell me that everyone else has their stuff together so much better than me. And it seems to be along for the ride, whether I like it or not. So I've kind of gone, okay, you're here, let's just do it anyway.
So as a clinical psychologist, you have to sit yourself down and go, now, Steph, let's have a talk about this.
Yes, possibly at times. And I think it's kind of learning that I need to walk the talk just as much as I kind of talk and teach these ideas to other people, actually going, right, I need to put it into my practice myself as well.
So, look, we know that you are a mother of three amazing boys, but let's talk about what drives you. When you get up in the morning, what are you most passionate about?
Yeah. I think it's really a bit of everything at the moment, and I'm kind of coming to acknowledge that it is okay to want more than being a mother as well. So for me, it's about all my roles. So looking after the boys, but then being involved in the farm with my husband, but then taking on my project and actually getting out into the world. And my passion at the moment, I guess, is building this idea of psychological flexibility in the world, and especially for our rural communities and our farmers, because personally I've kind of realised how important it is, but I just see there's so much potential for getting it out there to help people live a life of value and meaning even during the challenging times, and to just keep on doing what's important. And I guess that's what it is for me. It's kind of showing up and doing what's important for me, even on those days where I don't really feel like getting out of bed, or when the kids have woken me up and I'm still exhausted and all of that stuff's going on.
Were you always a farming gal? Is this where you're from, or did you fall in love and then it comes with the farm?
Yes, definitely the latter. So I grew up in Adelaide. I grew up in Prospect, which we kind of always joked was about 20 minutes from everywhere within Adelaide, but had no connections to farming when I was growing up. After school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so I went on to international studies at Adelaide Uni, and which, looking back, I think it was easier to say, oh, I'm going to go overseas and work, when I didn't really know what I was going to do. But then, as you do, while I was working, while I was studying, I worked part-time at a pub, and the one I worked at happened to be what was the Woolshed. So Adelaide, South Australian people know it as what was the country pub in the city. One night working there, met my now husband. So I was 19, and it's actually, funnily enough, speaking today, it's our wedding anniversary today.
Oh, happy anniversary, for sure. Happy anniversary. And anyone that meets at a pub, I mean, it's an Aussie story, you know. You're part of the club, by the way. Mine wasn't a pub, though. Mine was a footy club. So I figure it's all the same, isn't it? There was a cover band on, or there was something on. True love.
Yeah.
Hey, now you mentioned a term that I would like to unpack with you a little bit. Was it psychological flexibility? What was your term?
Yeah, psychological flexibility. So that's kind of, I guess, the psychobabble jargony word for it. But it's, I guess, a concept that's come up in the last 10, 20 years within psychology. And it's really around being able to be present in this moment right now, to kind of be non-judgmental about our experiences and be open to them, but most importantly, to kind of take action and take steps towards what's important to us, and really that aspect of committed action. I guess that's what sets it apart a little bit from just general mindfulness, which is really big as well. So it kind of includes those ideas of mindfulness and being present, but it's very much about being active and just, I guess, engaging with our values even when it's hard.
Yeah. And that's the key word there, isn't it? Values. And usually when we're getting some type of friction in our life, it is because we're out of balance or out of line with what our true values are or our true purpose. Is it values or purpose, or is that the same thing?
I think, like, so the way that values are talked about within the approach that I kind of use, which is this idea of, psychological flexibility or acceptance and commitment therapy, values in that area is kind of this idea of ongoing patterns of behavior that kind of take us towards the that purpose or that direction that's important. So it's almost like our values are the compass that guides us of where we head, but we have to keep having those repeated patterns. So I guess taking the idea of a marriage, like a goal might be to get married, you tick that piece of paper off and sign it, but you can't complete a value. So like having a value of a loving, supportive relationship is something you need to keep on doing every day. If you've done it one day, it doesn't mean it's done for the next few days.
When I think about psychologists, I think too of a curious mind. So what made you want to go down this road?
Yeah, I think it definitely is curiosity for me. Like, psychology has been very much just kind of getting an understanding of why we do what we do. I think understanding the science behind it, and I love that I'm not great at remembering it, but why our brains tend to kind of get hooked up, and the evolutionary side of things, that we still really have these cavemen minds or cavewomen minds in a very modern society, and there's just such different pressures now, which I think then leads us to have lots of the struggles which we do have now.
So you're on the farm, and our farmers, I mean, I always talk about them because my father was a dairy farmer, but as backbones of community, you know, in small towns, in regional areas, if the farming community is going well, the whole community is going well. And for years, farmers just did the work 7 days a week, and they showed up, and they had to be tough, and they had to be all these things. The modern day farmer in 2021, there's still some expectation around that type of thing, but we're getting so much better at talking about what's going on with their mental health. When did you identify that it was important to start something for farmers, whether it's the seminars or whether it's opening up conversations or during practice?
Yeah, I think it's been over the last couple of years of being involved on the farm, but even back thinking, so when was it, 2009 or so, I did my honours psychology, and my research project, my thesis for that was into rural men's wellbeing, and particularly was looking a lot at farmers. And I guess even just through the research period, looking at what we know about the pressures on farmers, and then my lived experience of that, and that it is a lot of those things like you spoke about. There's kind of still that assumption around being tough, and just the the work and the everyday being a gamble, and the unpredictability of life on farm as well. There's a whole lot of challenges there, but there's also such amazing rewards as well for kind of having a life on the farm and bringing family up. So I see so much potential in it. So we have been in drought for, the last 3 years or so, and hoping to come out of it. But I guess I've seen the pressures on us and myself and him and our relationship, but also what's happened for kind of our friends around us and the wider community as well. And I think with a lot of funding, and it's been excellent, there's been this increase in mental health awareness and mental health first aid programs run out in how to look out for other people. But what I sometimes see is it becomes almost a bit of an us and them, like people either have depression or they don't, or this is what I need to do to look out for my mates. But we kind of lose the fact that we all need to look after ourselves more than anything else. And I think one thing that I find really important to remember and probably keeps me going is the fact that we do still have much higher rates of suicide in our farmers, and that often they don't actually have diagnosed mental health issues to start with, so that it is that everyone's coasting along with a fairly high level of stress in farming to start with, but then something happens and that pointy end gets reached fairly quickly. The current way that our mental health services are run out means that there are long waiting lists across the country for kind of individual therapy. And we've got lots of telehealth options and online services, but people aren't actually often accessing them either. So I guess I went, let's try and see if we can do something differently.
Yeah, incredible. And I know this. I know this in terms of, I feel like for some reason, Steph, I'm imagining on the edge of a cliff in terms of just screaming out like, will you hear us, please? We need more mental health care in this country. Like, please. It's like a funnel, isn't it? Yeah. So we've got all these people in desperate need of help and sometimes silently chipping away at things, and then it's only just dripping out the help that we can give, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think COVID's kind of meant that's just escalated the need across all of Australia, has kind of escalated, really.
It's this is the part that breaks my heart, and I go, sometimes you don't know that you need the help until you're right in the middle of it, and then once you're in the middle of it, you're starting to go, wait a minute, how do we get more help out here? How do we look after our mates? How do we look after our friends? Hey, I'm curious too, because you are the founder of your local CWA branch. Now, talk to me about CWA, because they are an incredible group of women. But Steph, how old are you?
33.
Yeah. I don't normally ask that. It's just that CWA, you have an idea of what and who might be participating in CWA. But there has been a resurgence in the last couple of years, hasn't there? Young women are jumping on board.
Yeah, definitely. And that was why. So we started it back up 2019, I think. So it was kind of that all of the towns in our area used to have them years ago, and that all kind of folded. Actually, Burra was the very first, the founder of the SACWA came from Burra. So that was pretty cool. We established our branch on the 100th anniversary of the state being founded. But for us and for myself and the group that I established it with, I guess it was going, okay, let's just have a space for women that we can just connect with a bit of a wider, I guess, that bigger purpose of giving back to the community. But on a much simpler level, like our short-term plan is basically just giving us all an excuse to get out of the house once a month and purely do something for ourselves. So our message to people when we're trying to get them to come on board is, look, this is a group that you're not having to be part of committee meetings. You don't have any obligations apart from grabbing a purse, coming out and joining us for dinner or maybe a bit of an activity as well. So it's really about the fun and the friendship side of things.
What don't we know about CWA? So So what I know of it is just an incredible group of women, and I get so excited when I see people come together. And I think what you've just said is so right. It's not necessarily about the committees and the organising, and there is definitely those elements, right? But it's more than that. It's like connection and friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, we try and get across that we're more than just scones and more than just knitting or crochet. Although
I was going to say, I hope you've got a good recipe for me at the end of this. I'll tell you what.
we kind of dabble in the craft. We've actually taken to having a social dinner like rotating between each of our towns to support the local pubs and things as well, but also meaning that we're not having to provide food for our meetings either. So we're not all about the food, but we do like to enjoy a nice something to eat and a glass of wine sometimes as well. But it really is that connection. And I guess what we've probably found within our group especially is that those of us that are joining in are often maybe the ones that aren't born and bred in the town and might not be kind of deeply involved in the school or sports and things, activities, like all those other ways that people usually get that connection. So it's sometimes a little bit where the odd ones that come in, but it's a really nice mix of age groups. Like we've got younger through to older, and it's just that shared, I think that sense of sharing. And some people said, oh, we don't want to just come and talk about farming. And I'm like, well, we don't, because we've got a whole mix. We're not just off farms. It's just a really lovely group.
Mm, and it's nice to give them a plug. CWA, you'll find your local branch locally. They're not that hard to find if you just go to CWA. I think we should definitely give them a plug because they're all beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot being done around. They do a lot behind the scenes in advocacy and things as well, which is great.
You imagine a big group of women getting together and going, yeah, what can we do to make a difference? And I tell you what, these guys are on the front line for many, many organisations and causes, absolutely, hands down. Hey, you mentioned too earlier raising three little boys, being a farmer, being a psychologist, you've got a bit on your plate. You also talked about walking the walk. How important has it been for yourself to share your world and what's going on with others?
I think very important. So for me, I've kind of learned that sharing my journey and story is probably almost just as powerful, if not more, than kind of sharing the psychological knowledge. I guess it's been a bit of a learning curve, because going through particularly the clinical psych studies at uni, there's a big push in kind of staying separate in particularly in your clinical work. But I think when it comes to the community level, we learn through stories, and we also learn through doing as well. So for me, looking after myself often kind of came last, and it also still does come last if I don't make a pretty concerted effort to make sure that I do look after myself. But I've learnt the hard way a couple of times now that if I try and do everything and be mum and wife and farmer and try and do everything, it just doesn't work, and the wheels do fall off and it's not pretty.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And I understand the teaching behind there's a professional line and not crossing and the not sharing and not getting too personal aspect of psychology. This even can flow over into other areas. Talking to someone recently and they said, I always advise brands to be brands and not have the person behind it. But I kept saying, Anna, I disagree. I think people want to speak to the person, particularly that's what builds community now, and particularly online. They want to know who it is and why they're jumping on a cause or going to an event. I think the times have passed, haven't they, of some big corporation-y type thing. And yes, they exist, but at a grassroots level, the success that we see in organisations, in business now, is because the women or men have been brave enough to share their story.
Yeah. I think it's very much about kind of sharing our stories. And I guess it's one of the things I love in really this approach, which I use of acceptance and commitment training. We talk about that everyone's got a mountain to climb. So I'm over here kind of talking from my mountain, but you've got a mountain. So I might have a different view of your mountain, but you've got a different view of my mountain. And yeah, we're all just climbing our own mountains.
How do you advise then people to be aware of... So I probably haven't used the mountain analogy, but I always just try to think, oh, everyone's just got their own thing. Everyone's got their own stuff going on in their own world. They might look over. So if I use your analogy, they might look over at your mountain for a moment, but really they're back to their own stuff, their own thing, their own survival, their own climb.
Yeah. And I think it can kind of go both ways. Like when we've just got our head in our own mountain, so to speak, to stick with that, then it's probably builds into that imposter, going back to the start, and that imposter syndrome of kind of if you're just stuck seeing what you're doing. Sorry, my mind's going everywhere with this here at the moment.
No, I love it.
Everyone's climbing all these mountains in awesome ways, and then you're just stuck in the daily grind of yours. Vice versa. You kind of don't know what's actually going on behind the scenes for other people. So I think just that real sense of actually pausing and taking stock of where things are at for yourself, but also a bit of that kind of flexibility in perspective taking and kind of stepping into other people's shoes, or remembering that we don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes. I try and think of it particularly in terms of motherhood and carrying the load that we all do. Like, I don't know who has parents or in-laws or friends that take their kids from time to time, or a hands-on husband or a cleaner, or like, we don't know what teams people have really.
Yeah, and it's so true. So my question then now to you is, you know, when I read and look at your nomination and I say to you, hey, Steph, seriously, congratulations, the 2020 South Australia AgriFuture Rural Women's Award winner. I'm looking at congratulations for being the founder of the local CWA. I'm looking at the 2020 Thriving Women's Conference Committee. I'm looking at all these things. What do you say when people say congratulations to you? Because I look at this and go, holy moly, this is an incredible woman here.
I try and remember to say thank you while my mind kind of is busy on the inside saying, yeah, but she doesn't know all the other stuff that you do really badly at. And trying, yeah, just to, I think, learning to almost in a weird way give myself a pat on the back sometimes as well. Yeah. But I think it's that tall poppy syndrome. We're good at cutting ourselves down.
Oh, well. We are shocking at the self-deprecating thing. But I'm so glad that you said, thank you. That was a conversation me and a girlfriend were having. You know, what do you say when someone says, oh, well done on winning that basketball game or that, you know, whatever it might be? Yeah. And I said, well, you just say thank you. And you say, well, thank you for coming, or thank you, you know. But you take a moment to say thank you, because they don't always, you know, have to do that. And then that other crappy voice in the back just needs to just pipe down. Just pipe down for a second.
Yeah, that's it.
So, Stephanie, how do we find you? Can we access you from anywhere in Australia? What's the best way for us to connect with you? And I don't always do that, but, you know, I feel like today we've only really just scratched the surface with you is the thing. And if anything that I'm taking away is, you know, keep pushing on, like follow your passion, see the need and keep doing this, and do not let voices stop you from doing anything. So how can we everyday people access you? Like, can we find you on Facebook? Where do we?
So I'm on Facebook and Instagram with Cultivate Psychology. And I kind of fluctuate on and off between how present I am on there, as we all are trying to juggle those kind of social media demands. But then I find it is it is a really great way of getting these ideas out there, and it also keeps me a bit accountable as well in kind of if I'm saying these ideas to people, then I have to kind of follow through and do it myself as well. So it's a bit of a mixed benefit. And I've got a website, which is just cultivatepsych.com.au, and on there, there's some other contact details. And yeah, it's probably been one of the bonuses of COVID is that rather than with as my project develops moving forwards and working on running these ideas out into communities, I'm not kind of just bound by the locations that I can drive to and get to. There's so much more openness to doing things over Zoom and online. So it's yeah, exciting.
So Stephanie, one last question for you. I've changed to Stephanie now, so it must mean I'm serious. Sorry about that. To any woman, what advice would you give in terms of making that imposter syndrome pipe down for a moment?
Yeah, I think trust yourself. Recognize that it's probably not going to go away. In a way, it's kind of like a friend that doesn't that's got your best interest at heart, but doesn't necessarily have the best way to show it. So I sometimes think that it's kind of piping up because it's wanting me to be safe and not take risks, but I can be the judge of that. I don't have to listen to what my imposter syndrome says. And yeah, just that reminder that we don't know what everyone else has got going on behind the scenes either.
Steph, you are a woman of influence. Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. Loved the episode? Like and review us on your favourite podcast app and share with your friends on social media. Want to nominate? That's great. Hit us up with your nomination at aceradio.com.au. And don't forget to join us in the Women of Influence Facebook group for all the behind-the-scenes action.